Well, welcome back to the table, ladies. We are in lesson number 8 of the book of Genesis, and our teacher, Connie Stampfel, is here with us. Hi, Connie.
Hello, Amy.
Welcome back. What are we going to be learning about today?
Well, we are going to start Genesis chapter 3, and I just want our listeners to think about how in those first two chapters of Genesis, we learned about how God's word brought life and order and everything good, and then now we're going to have kind of a sharp shift, and it's going to be the serpent's word, and the serpent's word is going to bring death and chaos.
Wow. So we're learning about the fall today. And ladies, if you have, if you're in a place where you have a Bible that you can open, we are in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 today. All right. So why don't I read those, and then Connie will teach. And it says this: Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil."
All right. Thank you, Amy. This is really an important portion of Scripture, and it really explains how sin entered the world. And we see right away that we have this serpent, and the Hebrew is literally snake. But we know from elsewhere in Scripture that the serpent really is Satan, the deceiver, the accuser of the brethren. And I'll just refer people to Revelation 20, verse 2, which says, "And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who was the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. We can tell right away from this passage that this is not a normal serpent or snake, because one, he's talking. Mm-hmm. And two, he also, we see the word that he was more crafty or shrewd or subtle. He had something hidden that was a little bit tougher to discern. And we're going to find he went to the woman first because she was weaker, at least in this area of being deceived. And so he comes to the woman and starts talking to her. And her first thought should have been, "Why is the snake talking to me?" But she engages him in a conversation. And then he, we find right away that he said to her, again, those questions are always so serious to us. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say?" And just to phrase something like that, Amy, means he's already casting doubts.
Yeah.
And then the woman, you know, he says, "You shall not eat of any tree in the garden." And so he's already taking God's command and turning it into something very negative, because back there in Genesis 1 and 2, we were told that they could eat of every tree except one. And so now Satan's already twisting God's words a little bit and casting doubt on who God is and his character. And then it says, "And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" If we go back to Genesis chapter 2, we're finding she doesn't have the words quite right. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if she doesn't understand them, because again, actually those words were spoken to her husband Adam before she was created. And so either she didn't understand right, or she's kind of changing, jumbling them a little bit. But mm-hmm. she doesn't have a clear understanding of what God said, or at least she's not repeating it back right now. And then we find that the serpent goes farther, and he casts more doubt on God, because he said to the woman, "You will not surely die," because God had said they would die if they ate of that fruit. And we're to a crossroads, because either the woman is going to listen to the serpent, who is a creature, who is a subordinate, and actually she and the man are supposed to have dominion over all the creatures on earth, and they've been in relationship with God and speaking with God, and they know God and they know his goodness, and everything around them is perfect. Is she going to believe this creature who's telling her something opposite God, contradicting God, or is she going to believe God?
Wow.
Yeah, so that's, you know, this is a real problem. She's already starting to listen to another voice other than God's voice. But then the serpent's going to go really to the heart of the matter and put this serious temptation in front of the woman. And in verse 5, he says, "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And so as we think about this, Amy, what is he putting before the woman? What's the temptation that he's saying to the woman?
Well, he's telling her that she can be just like God.
Yes. And in some sense that God is not good because God is holding out on her. He hasn't given her his best. And so there's something else that she could desire and obtain were she to do this.
Yeah, he's apparently God is holding out on her and the snake knows this, but she's just now starting to learn, she thinks.
Yes, exactly. And so we can see how subtle and crafty and deceitful the snake is because he's saying a few things that are true, but he is not giving the full truth. Because he knows what's going to happen when she eats from the fruit, she actually will see death. And we know from the New Testament, from what Jesus told us about Satan, that he is exactly about his business right now. And so we've got a passage in John 8:44 where Jesus tells us exactly Satan's ways. And it's the same as right here.
Yeah. Why don't I read that? It says, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies."
Yes. And so here he is. He's lying to the woman to achieve his own purposes. And ultimately, it's because Satan himself has rebelled against God. He has denied God's authority. He's actually tried to put himself in God's place. And that's why he was cast out of heaven. And in our study guide, we have a reference to Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 14, which we won't read right now, but you can study on your own. And it's a perfect picture of that serpent who desires to rule over everything. But he's going about it right now through the people God has made in his image. And so he's trying to disrupt and destroy that. So we've been talking about, again, how the woman is tempted. And there's a couple places in the New Testament that in the study guide, women, you as listeners can go and study this a little bit. But one I'm going to refer you to is when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, because he withstood the devil's temptations perfectly. And Amy, do you remember it was in Matthew 4 and it was also Mark 4. But just a summary, how was it that Jesus withstood the temptations of Satan?
Well, Satan's quoted scripture to Jesus and, didn't quote it quite the way Jesus, Jesus is the author. So Jesus, of course, set him straight and showed him the real, things of eternal life that God only could create.
Exactly. Yeah. Jesus was obedient to the Father. He desired the Father's will, and he knew Scripture and the intent of Scripture. And so when Satan tried to twist things, Jesus replied with, "It is written."
Yes.
Unfortunately for the woman here, she doesn't either remember or speak Scripture the way the intent was. Yeah. And so that's her first mistake or problem. We also know that she has already fallen for a couple of the common temptations of all of us. And there's a reference there to 1 John, which talks about the ways we're tempted. And Amy, if you would read that 1 John passage, it would help us see what's going on with the woman and the serpent.
Sure. And this actually comes from 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever."
Thank you, Amy. And I think we can see as we compare that passage to what's going on here in Genesis 3, that those same things are happening to the woman. First of all, we find out that she sees that the fruit of the tree is good to eat. Mm. And to me, that's a desire of the flesh.
Yeah.
And then second, idea is that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. Okay. And so to me, that's like the personal gain desires of the eyes. There's something she wants. She's coveting something she doesn't have. And then finally, worst of all, is the height of this temptation is really, I sense, an appeal to power or glory or to be better than what 1 John calls the pride in possessions. But I would submit it's like her desire to be like God.
Yeah.
So I think as women, we need to just be wise that Satan's wiles and temptations are the same. And we need to know God's word and be in God's word. And so when those tempting moments come to us, we need to remember what God says and hold on to what God says rather than what might be our desires at that very moment. As we really think about what's going on in here in this passage, we find again that she chose her own way of thinking about things rather than trusting God and God's word and what God had told her. And so the sad part then is that she does go ahead and sin.
Yeah.
We also know that this idea was that the woman was deceived and she chose God's will over all, chose her will over God's will. And so there's kind of a five-part thing of going on. One, she saw the fruit. Two, she took the fruit. Then she ate the fruit and she gave the fruit. And so we're going to need to read that portion of scripture, which would be Genesis verse 6, I believe. So let's find that.
All right. Verse 6 says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate."
Thanks, Amy. And so we see already not only is the woman deceived and sinning, but the husband who is with her, she also is leading into sin in a sense because she takes a bite and then she shares it with him. And we, I think, as women just need to be very careful because we do have influence over the people in our lives and our sin affects other people.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman who was supposed to be that corresponding helper, that fit person for Adam, has now done something that's tempting him and causing him to sin. And so we have great responsibility with our choices.
Yeah, we sure do, Connie, and we have to be very careful with that indeed.
Right. I'm going to just refer our ladies to one passage in Luke 11:28. This is the words of Jesus. He says, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Mm. And that's what Eve did not do. And
yeah.
Adam did not do also. And we also know from the New Testament that the writers talk about how the woman was deceived. In 1 Timothy 2:14, Paul talks about, and he says, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor."
Yeah.
And so scripture makes a distinction between the woman's sin of being deceived and eating. But then we also know that Adam's sin was different because Adam willfully, consciously disobeyed God's express order. He knew what God said, and he chose to disobey. Because that's what we find in what we just read in our scripture passage. Mm-hmm. And that corresponds to what we find in Romans. Romans 5:12 tells us that, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." And here we have really the downfall of the human race, because Adam, as the representative, the first man, the one who is the father of all, because he sinned, each and every one of us is born with that sin nature. And so
yeah.
We can't help but sin because we are sinners.
Yes, indeed, Connie. And we know that we are fortunate to live in this time because we have that hope of a Savior.
Yes, it's been, God has revealed through his word and Jesus Christ has come. And so, yes, there is a remedy for this sin
yeah.
problem. Thank God. Yes. All right. Well, then we've got one more effect of the fall. It's in Genesis 3:7. So, Amy, if you'll read that, it'll just show us the sad consequences of sin.
Yes, it says, "The eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths."
How interesting.
Yeah.
End of chapter 2, we found out that they were naked and unashamed, and everything was good. And then now, because they have sinned, they actually have become evil.
Mm.
They were completely good. Everything was good. But now because of their sin, they see themselves in a different way and they can't help but sin. And so there's fear and there's shame right here and they need to cover up. And isn't that the way of sin?
Yeah.
It always, yeah, we need to cover up. We need to lie. Things are not good anymore. Before their sin, they were good. They enjoyed God's presence. And now they knew what good is, but they could no longer do good because they had become evil.
Mm-hmm.
We know from Scripture that one sin against the Father, one breaking one law is enough to give us everlasting judgment.
Yes.
And so that's what happened to them. And Scripture, again, goes along with that. We know that all of us have sinned. And if we go to Romans chapter 3, Paul writes that very well and just lays it out for us about what it is each and every one of us as a sinner. So, Amy, if you would read that.
It says, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one.
Yes, so today we have to end and close on a sad note of the fall, the sin of Adam and Eve. But thankfully, going on in Scripture, and those of us who know the rest of the Bible, like you already said, Amy, Jesus Christ came. So there's hope. But
yes.
Now, I think as women, we just need to very carefully consider, how do we handle God's Word? Do we understand what it says, and are we obeying it?
Amen, Connie. And we do not want to be deceived. And so the way to avoid that is to know His Word and obey.
Yes.
So thank you, Connie. Well, ladies, the study guide is on our website, naomistable.com. And do stick around for tomorrow's lesson, too, because you're going to hear the effects of the fall. And Connie will be back then to teach that as well. Nancy and I will be back in just a few moments to talk a little bit more about what you just heard. And so stick around. We'll be right back.